Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
Oversharing, I resonate a little bit with what Paul is saying here about wanting to do the right thing and having trouble doing it. And the place where it makes the most sense for me is when it comes to being physically fit and healthy and in a good, healthy place in body and weight and mass and so forth. If, for example, one has within the past year carried and delivered a delightful, wonderful, charming baby boy and would now like to get back to a healthier physique, there's really only one thing that works. Well, it's a combination of a couple of things, but that is to reduce the intake of calories, particularly calories from fat and carbohydrate, and to increase the amount of physical activity, good heart-pumping exercise. That's the way to do it. Despite what you may read in the checkout aisle or on the sidebar of the webpage, there's no magic miracle diet. There's no try this exercise for only 1 week and you'll trim inches off your waistline. The real thing to do if you want to be at and maintain that healthy weight is to eat well and exercise regularly. And that's what you have to do. I know that. I don't necessarily need, although I have had doctors and nutritionists tell me that, I know that. The way to achieve and maintain a healthy weight is to eat well, lots of vegetables, good lean protein, not so much on the, I don't know, potato chips, sugar, chocolate, beer, carbohydrate, insert comfort food here, and exercise. Well, not so much on the sitting in front of the television or reading on Facebook, and a little bit more of the walking and jogging and running and exercising. But I don't do it very well. I know it, but I don't always do it. That's not just true about that, although it's the best example for me, but it's not just true about that. It's true about any number of things. I know that the best way to convince a young child to do something is to speak to them in a reasonable tone, but I don't always do it. I know that the best way to get where I'm going and be on time is to leave on time, but I don't always do it. And I know that when I haven't left on time, that I can't possibly make the person in front of me go any faster, no matter what I might say under my breath or how I might flap my arms, but that doesn't mean that I refrain from doing those things. I know that the best way to increase the spiritual health and vitality of a congregation where I serve as pastor is to increase my own spiritual health and vitality. But I don't always attend to that. And I know that the best way to increase my own spiritual health and vitality is not to read a self-help book or to take a nap, although that does help a lot sometimes, but is to spend more time in prayer and meditation and seeking God's vision and God's will. But I don't always do that. We know what we need to do. We know what's right. We know what we're called to do. It's not for lack of knowledge. It's not for lack of knowing. But knowing and doing are two completely different things. And Paul is teasing that out in that sometimes convoluted passage from Romans, the good that I will, I don't do, and I don't do the bad that I will, I wouldn't, and all of that stuff. But what he's saying is we know what to do. He knows what God wants him to do, but doing it is a lot harder than knowing. And he knows what not to do, but avoiding that temptation is a lot harder than just knowing that it's there. And so he admits in this passage, and I like the way it's phrased in the message because it sounds almost like the first step in a 12-step program. The first step is to admit that we can't do this alone and we need some help. There's a problem and we need some help. And that's the first step. And so Paul kind of admits this about sin, about brokenness, about the way of life where we know what we are supposed to do. We know what the right thing is. We know what God is calling us to do. Now, if only we could do it. And in the doing it, we need help. And that's where I like those two, just a couple of verses right at the end of the passage from Matthew that Dick read for us just a bit ago, where Jesus invites us to take his yoke upon him. Now, we are in pretty much in farm country here, but we don't usually plow with oxen and yokes anymore. We might see it here and there, but most of the time I associate this with like fairgrounds and pulling contests for horses or oxen to see how much they can pull. But you know, the yoke is the device that holds the two beasts together so that they can pull together, and so that together they can have greater force than they would any one of them on their own. And obviously that team has to work together and pull in the same direction. They can't pull in opposite directions or pull at different rates, kind of like I was describing with the kids in the three-legged race or walk, that they need to be able to work together so that they can accomplish what they're trying to accomplish collaboratively. And I love this image because, I imagine that Jesus is not the person with the whip telling us to take his yoke, but is the one beside us inviting us to take that yoke upon us. And that to me is just such a wonderful image of the partnership to which Christ invites us, that we are asked to join with him and to pull with him. Now, we are, I think, always pulling. That's what Paul's talking about. We are pulling and being pulled in all sorts of different directions. Now, we could try to pull alone. There are yokes for one ox. There's just one. And you can do that. It's not very common, but we certainly can pull alone. And when we pull alone, the burden is heavy. That burden is too much for us. We are heavy laden. If we're trying to get through the stuff of this life and we are doing it alone, it is too heavy for us. Or we could pull with a pulling partner that is not very good at moving in the direction we want to go, either pulling in the opposite direction or stubbornly standing still. And that's the burden that Paul is naming as sin, that's pulling him in the other direction. He knows he wants to go that way, and it's pulling him this way. Or it's holding him in place when he knows that God is calling him forward. He knows what to do, but he can't do it because something is pulling back on him. And when we are pulled in two different directions, or we are held fast in one place as we're trying to move forward, then we are weary. We get wrung out. You can't make any progress or any headway if there's an opposite force pulling you in the wrong direction. And Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are weary, weary from pulling against something, weary from pulling in a different direction, from being pulled away from where you know you need to go. And you who are heavy laden from the burden, you who are trying to pull it all yourselves. Come to me, and I will give you rest, and take my yoke on you. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come and pull with me," Jesus says, "and we're going to pull together in the same direction, because I'm going where God's calling you. I'm going where you need to be going. And with me, beside you, we will together have the strength to do what you know needs doing." Now, we have a choice that oxen don't have. We get to pick our pulling partner. I had to practice that. I invite you to say that a few times fast. We get to pick our pulling partner in this life. We get to choose with whom we are going to walk this journey. And we can choose to try to pull on our own, to be that island unto ourselves, and to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and to go through this life on our own because we can do it, doggone it, on our rugged New England individualism. We're going to make it on our own. And we will be pretty heavy laden. And we can choose other pulling partners. We can choose consumerism. We can choose sin. We can choose despair. We can choose brokenness. We can choose anxiety. We can choose any number of partners. There's a million out there to pull with us, or should I say against us. Or we can choose Christ's yoke. And we can put that across our shoulders, and we can pull side by side with Christ, knowing that if we are pulling in the same direction that he is, that we are going the way God wants us to go. That we will have the strength it takes to do what we want to do the right thing, to do the godly thing. But we have to pick our allegiance, which is a fitting statement this time of year. We have to choose with whom we will ally ourselves. Will we ally ourselves simply to ourselves? Will we ally ourselves to the things and the pulls of this world? Or will we ally ourselves with Christ? Will we yoke ourselves to him, tie ourselves to him, not in a way that restricts us, but in a way that joins us to that which gives us strength and that which helps us pull in the direction that God is calling us? May we, side by side with Christ, not only know what we need to do, but have the strength to do it. Amen.